Everybody, if you are here, please let me know you are online. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Where are my people at? All right, we got Isaiah. Good morning, Isaiah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. Hopefully, there's more people who can hear me. Can everyone hear me? Okay, awesome. Ashley, good morning, Ashley. Okay, if there's anybody who cannot hear me or you can't figure out your GoToWebinar, then please check with either Michelle or Victoria. They will be here to help you out with that. Okay, and as I said last time, if you have any questions, please feel free to write them in this box and I will do my best to answer them throughout the presentation. And if I can't get through them, towards the end of the presentation, then I will make sure you email the support email so that I can get back to you guys with it. All right, let's get started. So let's kind of go over a little bit of what we talked about last week. Okay, and then I want to ask you guys what you did differently from last week to this week, or what you added on to your marketing department from what we spoke about. Okay, so to look at our presentation here, we talked about the basics of our business. We went through our mission and our values. So hopefully everyone has their mission and values ready to go this week. We also talked a little bit about how to jazz up your company, right? And how to talk about your company instead of just saying a carpet cleaner or you're a carpet cleaning company, you're a high-end professional flooring and fabricating company that can provide you with, and then you name all the services that you can provide. Okay, here are the values: reputation, experience, education, systems, and guarantee. We went through all of those. We talked about branding and your reputation. We talked about our verbal and nonverbal communication and how we said this is so huge. No matter what we say to these people, it might not come across the way we want it to if we're not dressed the part, if we're not having a positive attitude, if we don't have a smile on our face, and if we don't engage in conversation and really try to connect with these people, okay? We talked about our posture. We talked about changing our lingo from saying, customers and saying clients instead of customers, referral sources to referral partners and/or dedicated supporter. Instead of calling them flooring dealers, we're calling them flooring professionals. So minor tweaks, remember those? Hopefully you guys are getting the hang of using that communication. We talked about our dress code. We went into great detail about what to wear and what not to wear. We talked about not smoking on your route stops. Additionally, we showed some examples of what to wear for our visits and for our presentations for men and women. Okay. Here was what we talked about not to wear. And then we also said our company car or our van is also an example of our brand and not just ourselves. Okay, so I would like to know, what did you do differently this past week after our first session? You can just enter them right in the box. I just want to kind of know where you guys are at and if you have any questions before we get started with this week's training. Okay. If you haven't done anything different from last week to this week, that's perfectly fine. I see somebody mentioned that. It's okay. Today's a new day. It's a new week. and we will be moving forward, and there'll be plenty of other things that you're going to be learning that you can definitely incorporate, okay? It's never too late. Somebody said, Jill, good morning, Jill. Jill said, I upgraded my wardrobe for visiting clients. That's great. That's huge. That's a perfect way to start. As long as you get your old image ready to go, you'll be ready to walk in there and build some relationships. That's really good. So good job, Jill. Anybody else before we continue? I think I'm going to turn my webcam off now because there's too many things going on. I see here we have some more people just watching what I wear. Todd said, last week I was sending out emails, or I'm sorry, Ashley. Ashley was saying, last week I was sending out some emails to the person in charge, introducing myself and our company, but after what you said last week, we stopped doing that. That's great. Now, like I said, you know, it's not bad that you did that. It's just you want to be a little bit more personal, and you want to make sure that you're meeting these people face-to-face, because to be completely honest with you, if you put yourself in their position, which is what I do, when I get emails from Yelp people or from, let's say, some kind of advertising company and they're trying to get a hold of me, I skip right through those emails because those to me are just people trying to, you know, take our money. And I don't want to associate us or you guys with the people that I've associated those people with, okay? So make sure you're meeting them and they know who you are so when that email does come in, they don't just skip right over you, okay? Isaiah said, for me, it has mostly been continuing to build the proper perspective and attitude. The webinar helps me stay excited and motivated about our transformation as a company. That is so awesome. I love that. Thank you so much. That's my goal, is to help you guys stay motivated and excited, because this is a fun job. You know, it's supposed to be fun, and I'm really excited that you said that, and it is all about your attitude, because if you don't have the right mindset and the right attitude, then obviously it's going to show when you visit these people. Okay, so those were great responses. Thank you so much for entering those in. We can get started with the second session, which is our who and our where. If you remember, last week we talked about how we're going to be answering 6 key questions. The first one was who, and the third one was where. The second one was what to say and what to give. We'll get to those in some weeks to come, but we're going to be covering the who, which is our target market, and our where, which is where to find these people today. So this will be quite exciting. Additionally, we're going to go through our organizational system. I'm going to help you guys to stay organized, because organization is key. If you are not organized, it's going to be very hard for you to go and make sure that you're visiting these people on a monthly basis. All right, so let's begin. My warning is that if you do not care about people and their feelings, then you probably should not be in marketing. Make sure you hire someone who does care about those feelings and cares about people so that they can take care of this department for you. As we mentioned, we say it, you know, time and time again, if you don't care, these people are going to notice that. So you want to find the right person to be put in this position. We're going to be talking about DISC in a couple weeks. That'll be something that you will want to for sure listen to, because we want to make sure that you guys are putting the right person in your marketing department, okay? It doesn't mean that anyone other than an I or a D can't do the job. It's just that an I or a D will do the job and not feel uncomfortable doing it. So we'll be covering that in a couple of weeks. All right, how to create and update your referral partner list. Before we talk about how to create and update them, we want to start with the basics. So what is a referral partner? A referral partner to me is a source of people who will refer your services consistently. Okay, so for example, as I mentioned, we are a professional flooring and fabric caring company. So I want to get to the people that have my kind of clients. And last week we spoke about our clients and how we want to set ourselves up with clients who are high end because we are high end. So you want to start there. You want to find of the companies that are high end who have these same high end clients that you want. Okay, so for example, designers are one of ours. And why is that? Well, because their clients usually ask them, hey, who can clean my upholstery? Or, hey, you know, I have a dog and five children and, you know, I'm constantly having messes at the house. Do you know if there's a fabric protector that you may could recommend to me for my family? Those are both something that we could provide for them. Okay, additionally, they might ask, you know, who is it that can seal my granite countertops that you just installed for me? Because we do have some designers that don't just do upholstery and sell sofas and things like that. There's some designers that do the all-encompassing of the design of the home, which means, you know, I have one I just visited yesterday. She does the bathrooms to the the kitchens, the dining rooms, the flooring, the everything, the lighting. I mean, she does literally everything. So you want to find those designers who are not just selling the sofas or reupholstering the fabrics, but you want to find the designers that are also doing all of the things that you can provide for, and they are out there. So never limit yourselves. Additionally, there's flooring professionals. Now, what kind of flooring professionals am I speaking about? Well, as I mentioned last week, we clean any kind of hard surface floor, including Saltillo, travertine, okay, granite, terrazzo. What's another one we can clean? Hardwood floors. There's many different types of floors. And so what I did literally when I started working with Howard is I Googled these places. I didn't just click, you know, or I didn't just Google flooring stores in Houston, although you can do that to start with. I then honed in and said, okay, let me write down all of these services that we do. And each one of these services, I'm going to put those into Google. So I started with Saltillo Floor. I put Saltillo Flooring Stores in Houston. And then if nothing came up or if something came up, great, I wrote it down. Okay. Then I wrote Travertine Stores in Houston or Granite Countertops in Houston. I wrote each single one of those services down, okay? I didn't stop there. I looked at kitchen and bath places, okay? One thing I will advise is that you want to make sure when you're Googling these places that you don't Google or that you don't go to the places that are distribution centers, because they're not the target market that you're looking for. Those are the people that are sending their products, and that's all they're doing. They're just sending them to the stores. You don't want to visit those places. You want to visit the stores who are dealing directly with those clients. So we made the mistake of doing that, but it's okay. You know, we figured it out and we noticed, okay, that's not where we need to spend our time building relationships with, because they don't deal with the customer face to face like the flooring stores do. Okay, so distribution centers, do not visit. All right. There was something else I was going to mention about Googling. Oh, I know. So after you're done Googling that particular service that you can do in that area, choose a new area. So for example, we service all the way from Conroe down to Galveston. So why not each time when I'm Googling these places, I, like I said, hone in and put the actual destinations of where I want it to search. So for example, I can say Travertine Stores in Houston, Travertine Stores in Conroe, Travertine Stores in Woodlands, Travertine Stores in Galveston, Travertine Stores in Sugarland, Travertine Stores in, Magnolia. If you really take the time to Google these places, you will find so many places that you never saw when you're in the car driving. Okay. Additionally, do the same thing for your realtors. You want to find realtors in each one of those areas. Upholsterers. Okay, so we talked about designers, but what about the upholsterers? Because remember, we can protect that furniture and we can clean that furniture for them. All right, and it's not just that, but it's mattresses too. We can clean mattresses. And sometimes these people's clients ask about that. So look at your upholsterers. And sometimes, or mostly they're Asian. A lot of mine are Asian. And they love referring us because they make the client happy. They're all about making their client happy and providing value to their clients. And they love to make their check. All of these people love to make their referral certificate checks, which we'll talk about later on. I really hope that you guys have a referral reward system that you're currently using that Howard teaches. It is fabulous. Some of these clients, like some of our high-end designers, they don't really care about the referral certificates. They just want to know that their client is in great hands and that they're going to be taken care of. But a lot of these other people, like for sure the flooring professionals who are strictly commission-based, they do care about their referral certificates. So make sure you have your referral system put in place. Another one is furniture stores. So you might be thinking, what's the difference between the upholsterer and the furniture store? Well, an upholsterer, you'll see it'll be called an upholstery shop. And usually there's not any sofas in there. It's just where people take their sofas or, you know, take their chairs to get reupholstered. But we're talking furniture stores as in maybe a Star Furniture or a Custom Creation furniture store where people are selling the actual furniture that they're making. Okay, this might be a leather store. I walked into my first urban leather place last week. So there's many different furniture stores, and it's better to get a mom and pop because some of these furniture stores are corporate stores, and sometimes with corporate, they're not allowed to refer services because they'll get in trouble, and or they already have their services in the store, or you know, they have a product that they're using to protect that furniture for the client. That's all something you have to research. You know, Google is great. I always look them up. If I think a place is a corporate place, I'll look them up. I'll kind of see what services they provide, like Gallery Furniture. I'm sure everyone's heard of Gallery Furniture. If not, you can look them up. They're corporate, and they have their own fabric protector, and everything is online. So I literally, before I walked in the door, I already knew that they provide these services for their clients, so I'm not here to step on anyone's toes, right? I want to be a resource to somebody who doesn't have these services that we can provide. Additionally, some rug stores. How many of y'all can clean rugs? We can clean them and protect them. In fact, we do a urine damage treatment on them. People love to hear that. Hey, you know, I've got a pet, or my child spilled some chocolate milk on here, or you know, my child actually did an uh-oh on this. You know, can you do a urine damage treatment? And yes, we can. So we'll tell them about that, and we'll figure out these rug stores online. Make sure they are high-end. The next bullet point says do not go to a referral source that is not high-end. So there's a lot of rug stores and furniture stores and flooring professionals that say they're either 99-cent stores or they're an outlet store. Those are your big no-nos. You do not want to get involved with stores like that because why? Because their clients are most likely not the clients that you want to be dealing with, okay? Additionally, sometimes these places are just in a bad town or a bad part of town, and you can tell by the building that it's not very neat, it's not upkept, it's not clean. You don't want to associate yourself with a company that does not look as clean and professional and neat as yours. And guys, I'm not being stereotypical here. This happens all the time. Anytime I pass by a 99-cent store, it usually does not look very professional. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're visiting places that do look high-end. Are there any questions regarding this before we continue? I love it. You guys are saying that you're understanding. This is great information. As we mentioned before, you can use Google. Google has been my BFF, literally. Or you can drive around. There's a lot of times where I'm on my route, or you know, maybe I'm out on the weekends with my family and I notice that there's a new flooring professional store or a new designer place or a new furniture store. I always write them down. I write them down on my phone, I email it to myself at work, and then come Monday, I Google that place and I put it on a route. It's as simple as that. You always want to constantly update and add routes to your list. And the reason being is because you want to make sure, remember, my goal is to have everybody in the Houston area know who Clean as a Whistle is. They don't necessarily have to use us, although I would love that, but I want them to know who we are. So there's a lot of places that say, you know, oh, we don't have clients that ask that question, but if they do, I'll let you know. We've had a lot of people, you know, close the door on us or not interested in us, but hey, we tried. We let them know who we are, and that way, you know, if they know who we are, they'll tell a family member, they'll tell a friend. If they don't have a client, you know, make sure you're always telling about the referral reward program. Another place of how to find these places are networking events. We are going to talk about ASID for a little bit. I don't know how many of you guys are in the same industry as we are, as Clean as a Whistle is, but it would behoove you to look up ASID. ASID stands for the American Society of Interior Designers. And every week or every 2 weeks, there's always an event where all of the designers and flooring professionals get together, and it is fabulous. Not only are they super fun to go to, but you meet the best types of people. People that are in your network, your high-end clientele network. They are anxious to learn and meet new people who are going to help add value to their clients. I mean, it's just endless. Okay, and I think the fee is only like $350 or maybe $400 a year, which you might be thinking, wow, you know, that's expensive. But I want you to think about the return and the long-term investment of investing the $350 or $400 a year. We've been investing it now for several years, and I have no regrets. That's what I'm here to do for you, is to tell you what works and what doesn't work. And I'm telling you, ASID is what you need to look at. So what you can do is look up on Google if there is an ASID in your area. So what you can do, for example, is if you're in Houston, which you probably aren't, but I'm going to use my example. So I would look up ASID in Houston, Texas. And then boom, there should be one that is in your area. If there's not, no worries. We're going to find another event with you. Email me or write in the box and let me know if you don't have one. We will find an event or a organization for you to get a part of. I don't want you to be discouraged. But if you do, I will let you know that just with a couple of years experience, we will never not be involved with ASID. There are many perks. Number one, we've offered investment. So like for this year, we paid the $350 or $400, I forget what it is, but we've already gotten so many referrals from that have already returned the investment of the $350 that we paid for the program or for the organization. Okay, additionally, ASID members are able to, hey, all right, Isaiah. Isaiah just said he just looked it up and they have an ASID in Minneapolis. That's great. Isaiah, get involved. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. If you have to go alone to those events, that's all right. I did it for a whole year by myself. It wasn't bad. The people are so much fun to be around. You'll meet so many nice people. Okay. Additionally, you're going to find a lot of people who are there that have showrooms that you might not have been able to find on Google, or you might not have found when you were driving around. Additionally, you might find people that work out of their home. The majority of the designers work out of a showroom that come to these events, but a lot of them also work out of their home, and you can get to them by going to these events. To kind of backtrack, sorry guys, I have like ADD problems. I was saying, okay, we get the return on the investment, and then I was going to let you know that businesses who are involved as an industry partner, which is probably going to be your title. You'll be called an industry partner when you involve yourself with ASID. If you are involved with ASID as an industry partner, you can host with a showroom, so maybe team up with a designer or a flooring professional, a continuing education course. This has been my goal this year. We've already done two, and we're already setting dates for many others, of setting continuing education courses for these designers. So ASID gives you the privilege and opportunity to teach a 1 hour session of how to maintain your upholstery or how to maintain your hard surface floors, and the list goes on and on and on of all the services that you can show. Okay? The opportunities are endless. There are so many ways of how to connect with other people with ASID. I'm going to go through the CEU courses in the future on a different week, but just so you're aware that you cannot go wrong with getting involved with them. Okay? A lot of people have asked, you know, what about BNI groups and things like that? Well, we did BNI, but unfortunately for us, we didn't get a return. We didn't get the clients that we were hoping to get, or, you know, the networking wasn't as great as we thought it was going to be. So you need to gauge that for yourself. If that's something you want to try out, just like we did, and see if it works for you, by all means, please do it. You know, I don't discourage it. However, I'm letting you know that for us, it didn't really benefit us. And plus, you know, unfortunately, I think the meetings were like at 6:30, like on a Tuesday, and Tuesdays are my meeting days with my marketing girls, and the meetings were like an hour away, which for us was totally, you know, we weren't able to do that. So you need to gauge that, make sure you're, you know, Googling everything and figuring out what you have in your area. The last bulletin is local interior design magazines. This sounds super cheesy, okay, but I'm here to tell you that 80% of our route books right now, well, maybe not 80%, maybe like 40%, I'm sorry. 80% would be that I met from ASID. Like, maybe 20%. 20% would be from these magazines. You can find these magazines anywhere. Literally, I walked in a showroom and one of the designers had like four different types of designer magazines that were from the Houston area, like laying on a table. And after I built the relationship with her and saw her for a couple months, blah, 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 I asked her, I was like, hey, you know, would it be okay if I take one of these magazines? They always say yes. What's the harm in asking, right? You don't want to take it without asking because that's just rude and could be considered stealing. But just ask them, you know, hey, is it okay if I take one of these? They're going to say yes. Once you take it, bring it back to the office, look through it. Let your boss know, hey, I'm not just looking through a random magazine, okay? I'm really looking for new route stops. We found so many stops in here. We found new places. We found places that weren't showrooms, that they were working out of their homes. We found realtors in here. This is a great resource for you. One that's very famous, excuse me, is called Modern Lux. It's the one that I put here in the PowerPoint. Another one is, ours is called Houston Magazine. If you live in Minneapolis or if you live in Florida, there might be one for the area that you're living in. That's just a designer magazine. So you want to Google interior design magazines in Houston or in Minneapolis, in Miami, in, I don't know, Austin. You know, so don't forget, Google is going to be your BFF, okay? Hold on, we got some questions here. Ashley said, is there an ASID partner online list if you are not an ASID member? I think the answer is no. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Now that you said that, when I became an ASID member or industry partner, they sent me a huge directory. Thanks so much for saying that, Ashley. I have a huge directory of all the designers in ASID. It is so thick. It tells me everyone who's involved. It gives me pictures of their companies, emails, addresses, everything. So in case I visit a showroom that I don't, excuse me, God forbid I forget their name or I don't have their email, I look it up in that bad boy and I can see anything I want. So that's another positive note. Now, what they do have, Ashley, online, I wonder if I can share my screen and show you guys. Let me see. I don't think I can. Well, if you go on ASID, you can look at the upcoming events. If you see what these events are all about, I think they let you go to like a total of 2 or 3 events for free before you become a member. Okay, so there's a calendar on there. It's under news and events, I think. And you can see, you probably have already on there some CEUs that other companies are doing, which you want to get involved in doing. You might want to do that later on in the road because it could be overwhelming for you just getting started building relationships with these designers. But, you know, after a year and you feel comfortable with these designers, you can get with a CEU. But to kind of understand what a CEU requires, go to one. I'm sure they have some on there. I know there's like 5 this month on our calendar for ASID. I can easily go there, see what's involved, see what I have to do and what we need to speak about, you know. Additionally, there's like sip and stroll events, which is, you know, they have wine and cheese and things like that, and they get everybody at the design center, and everybody just walks from showroom to showroom, and everybody sees all the designers and meets all the designers. Super fun events. Take a friend. Take someone who doesn't even work with you if you want. Make sure y'all dress professional. You're not drinking, like I said earlier last week. Just go to these events, have some fun, and meet some people and see if you like it. And if you like it, join. Okay, if you don't like it, then keep going to some events because I guarantee you will like it. There's another question we have. We only have a student chapter for ASID in Idaho at one of the colleges. Do you think that would be of any benefit? You know what? I think so. And the reason why is because a lot of these students are not just 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. These students, sometimes 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, are, you know, ladies who are either just graduated from college or they're later on in life, they're wanting to do something, they're wanting to explore their design, talents, and they want to become an interior designer, and they might just be close to graduating. If you get your foot in the door with them now, they'll already know about you, and then that way when they build their company or they, you know, they become an entrepreneur or they have their own showroom or if they work for another design firm, they're already going to know who you are and they're all going to be ready to refer your services. So yeah, I would say get involved with them even though there's a student chapter. You know, get volunteer time. There was a student event not too long ago that Dina and I went to. And what we did is talk to all the students about their portfolios. They bring you their design portfolios. You can volunteer for like an hour at the event. And they ask you about where they should put their carpet in certain rooms or where they should put their hard surface floor or what kind of hard surface should they use in the kitchen and those kinds of things. And you can give them the advice, which is what? Education. Remember, we're trying to be educating these people and show that we are a resource and can provide value to them. Okay, so a lot of them are students, but they're also working already in the field, and that might lead you to something. So you might think, oh, you know, this is just a student, but if they're working at an Ethan Allen or at some furniture store, then that can be your in. Okay, don't forget, this is all about building relationships, and it's never too late to start. What are the costs involved with hosting an ASID course? Okay, Andy, just so you're aware, it's a CEU course, okay? The costs are, I can tell you, we paid $350 for the course submission. Okay, so yes, it seems like it's expensive, but you can utilize that course and teach that course with as many designers or flooring professionals as you want for 2 years. So for $350, I can teach a course once a month with many different companies, many different designers, many different flooring professionals. And that just helps us gain more clients. Okay, you can get involved with, if y'all want to write this down, look up idcec.org, call their representatives, and they will let you know all of the details of how to host a CEU and what you need to do with those fees and things like that. When you're an ASID member, the first payment is waived for the first year of being a CEU host. And then you just pay the $350 anytime you submit a course. So we're going to actually keep the details about the CEU for future. I'll keep a slide just for that for y'all to talk about. And we'll go into detail. We really need to get back on topic because it's already 9:37. Let's talk about how to set up your route books. Let me put my video back on if I can. Where is it? There we are. Okay. All right. So how to set up your route books. Organization is key, we said. So I want you guys to use Google Maps. All right, and the reason I say that is because you might have a billion of showrooms and places that you want to visit, but you want to organize them. You want to organize them by zip code. So, for example, I have one of my binders here, and what I did is organize everything by zip code. So your goal is to visit these showrooms once a month, every month. Okay, later on we're going to talk about how many times you need to be visiting these people to get a referral and things like that. But right now we're just going to focus on organizing these binders. So you're going to use Google Maps and you're going to type in these destinations and rearrange them so that you get them in order and make sure that this is the fastest route possible for you when you're on your route. Okay, so by zip code you want to keep them organized. So this zip code is 77042 and 77063. The numbers are weird, but for some reason those zip codes are like right next to each other, so I combined all those stops on one route calendar. And what I did is I used Microsoft Excel, okay, and I just put them in the columns. I put the location of that place, so Cantoni I put here, their address in the second column. And then I put a food column, which is how many goodies I need to give to them, which we'll be talking about goodies next week, I believe. Okay, so I put 4. And the reason I put 4 goodies is because there's 20 people here. If there's 20 people, I usually do 2 goodies per 5 people, if that makes sense. So like 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm sorry, 1 goodie per 5 people. So 5 people, 1 goodie. If there's a place with 10 people, that's 2 goodies. If there's a place with 15 people, that's 3 goodies. If there's a place with 4 people, I mean, oh my gosh. I hope y'all understand what I'm trying to say. 5, 10, 15, 20 people, then I give them 4 goodies. I'm getting so confused. Okay, does that make sense? Hopefully it does and I didn't confuse you. Okay, yes it does. Thank you. All right. Okay, in the last column, or the second to last column, I put how many times they referred us. You want to track these people. You don't want to keep visiting if they're not going to refer you. We're going to talk about that later on. But here are my tally marks. I'm tallying how many times they show up on my referral report. The last one is our special requests. Sometimes I want to write down if they're gluten, they can't eat gluten, or if they're a diabetic and I don't want to bring them any sweets. Things of that nature, I write down in my special request column. So I have that on the PowerPoint screen for you to see. This is another example. I took this in like the beginning of the year, so obviously there's only like one referral on one of them, but you can see everything is on there. I wrote down that there's a dog there named Chloe. I want to write down, you know, if there's dogs because I like to engage with the dogs or give the dogs a treat too. We'll talk about that later on. But then you also see there's bees next to some of these places. The B's stand for breakfast presentation. Those are the people, like I said, this was a long time ago that I took this picture, so most of these people have had breakfast presentations by now, but I want to keep tally on who the people I've done breakfast presentations with so I don't redo it again, like, or keep asking them for it. Although every 2 years I want to ask them again. I always want to update and make sure I'm in front of them. Okay, so this is an example of a customer appreciation visit sheet. If you were in my marketing workshop, you already have these readily available to you in the binder that I provided, but in the event that you don't, These are going to be on availability on the website. I believe Victoria was going to put them on there. So just so you're aware, we're going to go through these sheets. Okay. Just so you're aware, the beginning of my binder, I always have my business card sheets. Okay. Because you want to make sure you're getting business. I have those in front. After that, I have a cute little tab that goes to my customer appreciation visit sheet, which is right now what you see on the PowerPoint slide. This is where you're going to write down the business name and the contact people that you visited or you met when you were there. Okay, you're going to write the address, the city, the email address, their phone number, their store hours. This is important because if they're not open on Monday, you don't want to go on this route on Monday. You want to go on the days that they're open. On the sides, middle sides area, you're going to see that you can write down the months and the dates of when you went, and you want to make sure that's consistent every month. So, like, for example, I went on January 15th, and next month, February, I went on February 18th. So there's a little bit difference in the numbers there, but they're very similar at the times that I visit them. The next month I went on the 15th. The next month I went on the 16th. So you want to make sure you're visiting these people consistently and around the same time every year. I mean, every month. Okay. The number of people I list on the side, I want to make sure how many people I visited. I'm a marketing manager, so I want to make sure that the girls are out there visiting people for the amount of time that I want them to, which we'll talk about later. But I want to see who they're visiting, how long they're visiting them with, and that will also let me know if they're doing their job correctly. Okay. On the slide, I talk about my friend Tamonica, and I put an example of when you write down these people's names, and we're going to talk about send out cards and sending them a send out card after you meet them for the first time. It is huge when you go back and remember their name. Tamonica freaked out when I remembered her name. She was like, first of all, my name is super weird and crazy. Like, I can't believe you remembered it. But I wrote it down as soon as I got back to the car. I might have forgotten maybe to get her business card, or maybe I did get her business card and I wrote down her name, but I didn't remember, let's say, how to pronounce it. This is why you have the sheet. You write it down and you write in parentheses how to pronounce the name. So that next month when you go back, you might think you're going to remember, but you don't. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to remember. So you write down all those notes on here. So not only does this keep you organized, but they love it when you remember their name, and it shows that you actually care. On this next sheet, this is where you can go into greater detail. So you're going to write Tamonica. This is how you pronounce her name. She has brown, frizzy hair. She's African American. She's got black glasses, Dior glasses that I love. Okay. She has a beautiful silver Michael Kors watch. She's the marketing manager. You write all those details down. You need to know what she looks like, what she had in her office. Maybe you can talk about what you talked about with her so that next time, right here, you see next time, you can say, okay, my next attack on what I'm going to talk about is this, the referral reward program, or I'm going to go into detail about, you know, something else. There's always something you can talk about for next time. Sometimes your next time, if you visit them at least 3 or 4 times, sometimes your next time is book a presentation with Tamonica. So you want to write that here. Always put your dates. I guarantee you, I'll stress this enough. I can't stress this enough. Next month, you're not going to remember anything. You want to make sure you're leaving these notes super understandable and in great detail, because you want to make sure you're leaving that impression with them and that you're remembering them and that they know that you care about them. They don't know. Don't tell them you write these notes. They don't know you're writing these notes. They think that you're remembering, which, you know, and you are. You remember going and seeing these people. You just don't remember some of the details, so you use these to help. They don't need to know that. The last sheet I'm going to go through you, actually, before we go to the last sheet, I want to read you some of the things that I have about my peeps. What is my bike? This is my design center book. Write that down. Google design centers or decorative centers in your area. We have two. It's a big, huge building with like 8 floors, and it's all designers. Now, granted, they're to the trade only, which is they don't work with the direct client. They work with a designer. But that can't harm you. You want the designer to know about you. So you want to go to these places. So make sure you write that down and look in your area if you have a design center or a decorative center. Okay, so here's an example of Scott Group Studio. And I wrote with met with Michael. Michael asked me to talk about Microseal. Cool. So I went in there. I've been visiting these people for a long time, 3 years, but this was like back in 2015. He wanted to know about Microseal. Okay. And the next time I said, make sure to bring in Microseal sample to do a demo and or ask for the presentation. So those are some notes that I wrote. I have so many. This one is before July of 2015. And I said, talked with Michael. He's super nice. He's ready for the weekend. He has brown hair, blue eyes, tall, dark, and handsome. Hey, if you think they're handsome, write it down because next time you're going to look for the person who's handsome and you're going to know, okay, that was the guy, right? Okay, he lives near Royal Oaks. When I was leaving, a designer wanted me to meet with them and get some more information about his client who he's dealing with. I told him he is welcome to email me with any questions. I asked him if he would love to do a breakfast or lunch to inform the staff about what we do that separates us from other companies. He loves us. Okay, I wrote down all that information. Next time, set up the breakfast presentation, check if he's referred us. Now, if you notice, this date was February of 2015 that I said that I was going to try and book a presentation. And then this time, or the time before I talked about, was July of 2015. So sometimes you might not book it that first time you ask. That's okay. They're busy. Especially in the summertime. There's nobody there. The designers are all on vacation. You're not probably going to book it in the summertime because they want all of their designers there to know and help add value to their clients. So don't get discouraged, but make sure you're not asking them too many times back to back because you don't want them to get annoyed with you as well. So allow at least a month, to go by until you ask them again. Right, so those are just some examples of some stuff that I have in my route books. What I have on the screen here is a sheet that I don't have it a name for it, but this is just going to keep you organized and for your marketing manager to know what routes you visited, how many people you saw, and this is how we pay our marketing specialists because they let me know what time they started. What time they stopped, and their mileage if they use their own car, and the number of stops and the number of people that they saw. Okay, so at the top, you're going to put the zip code, you're going to put the area, and then you're going to put the date. So, for example, I went on a route yesterday, so I would put 10-4, right? Today's the 5th, right? Can't even see it. I think so. So you put 10-4 here. Time, I usually go on my routes in the afternoon, so 1 o'clock through 5 o'clock. I don't need to put mileage because we are fortunate to have company cars, but if you do not have a company car and they use their own car, you want them to put their mileage on here. Okay? The number of stops that I stopped at, I usually fill out last because I need to put all the people that I visited here. So, for example, let's do this binder together. If I visited Joyce Horn Antiques, Manchester Design House, Fabric House, blah, 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 and so on and so forth, I'm going to put all those places here. I'm going to check if they were new. If I happen to just have an extra goodie in my bag and I saw that a new place opened up, I'm going to write that down. Not only am I going to visit them, but I'm going to write them down at the end of the day and I'm going to check that they were new so that my boss knows I was delayed 15 minutes back to the office because I did stop at a new place. All right, how many people did you see? And then the type of place. Was it a designer? D for designer. Was it a flooring professional? F for flooring. Was it a realtor? R for realtor. This is to keep you organized. Okay, what we do is we keep all of these in a binder And at the end of a route, we title that binder the Completed Routes Binder. And I have the girls turn these into me at the Completed Routes Binder. So you want to have something like that available for them to turn in. You need to check on these weekly. You need to make sure that everybody's being seen. In the past, sometimes routes weren't being seen, or people, you know, they were going on the routes, but people were being skipped. You don't want that happening. You want to make sure that you are not micromanaging, but just making sure that you are telling everybody the goal. And the goal is to visit all of these people every month. I don't know if you guys are just starting out to do this, but if you are, it's okay to start little by little. I understand, if, especially if you're the owner of the company, you probably don't have time to go visit like 10 people today. Start small. Say, okay, today I'm going to visit this company. Tomorrow I'm going to visit this company. The next day I'm going to visit this company. Or if you do have time, maybe you have time for four. Put four in today and then visit four tomorrow. Just make sure that you're visiting them on a monthly basis once you start. Do not start and then skip and then think, oh, it's okay, I have to push it to another month. No. And this next slide is going to help you stay accountable. This is the when slide. You might be thinking, well, how the heck am I going to keep myself organized, Leaky? Ta-da! Here's your calendar. Utilize it. Like I said, all of these are going to be available to you guys. This is an example of our calendar from March 2016. I put all of the days and times of when Dina and I, well, actually, this is just one. This is for our marketing specialist who lives in League City. So she uses her own car for her routes. She's part-time. She doesn't come in every day. So this is her route schedule. So she sends it in to me, and she lets me know, okay, Friday the 4th, I have a presentation at 9 a.m. On Tuesday the 8th, I'm going to Pearland, and my route is going to be from 9 to 1. The 9th is Friendswood 9 to 1. Thursday is Webster 1 through 5, and so on and so forth. Keep it organized. Put routes on there. Put presentations on there. Put networking events on there. Put the marketing meetings on there. You want to make sure that you know when you're going. And then schedule all your other activities around it. You cannot afford not to see these people. You just can't. And I'm telling you, you're going to see the results quickly. We almost tripled our referral sources in less than 12 months. And you can too. So you want to make sure you're staying organized and make sure you're seeing these people. Okay, what are some biggest takeaways from today? And yes, you are having a homework assignment. Your homework assignment is to create your calendar and start setting up your route books. I want to see route books. I want to hear you guys say that you're getting organized. I don't care if it's just one person. You put that one person on that route book and slowly make it grow. I want to see that you guys are utilizing this, because remember, what is the one thing or the one reason that small businesses fail? Is failure to implement FTI. I don't want you guys to have the failure to implementation. I want you guys to succeed. So that is your homework assignment. You have 1 week to get that together. It's not hard. If you cannot do it, have your marketing specialist do it. Okay, but I want you guys to jot in what your biggest takeaway was from today and possibly what you're going to be working on or adding to your marketing department. Ready and grow. While you're writing these in, I can take any other additional questions. We have a couple minutes. Next week, we will cover what's in your bag. Which is our goodies and things of that nature. All right, we have a question. No, we don't. We have a comment. Okay, biggest takeaway. Even though I am the only carpet cleaning tech in our company, I can start small with the marketing and do the marketing as well. Booyah! Isaiah, you're already on the right mindset. So I'm proud of you. That's great. And I totally agree. You can start small. It's not going to harm you. It's only going to help you. Darcy, you said ASID involvement. Good job. I'm excited. Let me know how that goes. Let me know what you guys find out within this week to next week regarding ASID. Todd, or I'm sorry, Ashley, needs to get in with ASID networking events. Yes, you do. From going out, I realize the bigger real estate companies have an annual fee to be a referral vendor. What do y'all do in this type of situation? That's an interesting question. We don't pay any fees to referrals for any vending. So I would say I wouldn't pay any fees for that. I would just go visit them and see and start there and do presentations. If there's any fees involved, I wouldn't get involved with that. I would visit the people and get involved with people that don't have a fee, unless it's ASID. That, for sure, your money needs to be. Where on the website can we find these forms? Okay, Victoria and Michelle will help you with that. Great question. Andy said ASID. Great. I have a marketing book already, Megan is saying, but I like the idea to add the business card sheets at the front. You're welcome. I'm glad that helped you. Yeah, you can get them at Office Depot or Staples, Amazon. Super cheap. And we have, Ashley said, maybe just here in Georgia. I guess, yeah, you want to look at where they're at. Sometimes there might be an ASID in the nearest town or the nearest city next to you. That's okay. If it's not more than like a 30 or 45 minute drive, it's totally worth it because I'm sure you probably service that area too. I would assume so. I mean, I know we do. We, you know, we go at least 2 hours north and 2 hours, I believe. So if the ASID network is maybe in Galveston or, you know, somewhere else, still get involved there. It might be a little bit of a drive, but hey, let your boss know I need to leave this time to make that event so that we can grow our marketing. Well, that looks like it's the last of the questions. It is 9:59. I'm sad to see y'all go, but I'm really excited on everything that we talked about this week, and I'm excited about next week's information. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about food and who doesn't like food. So thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed everything. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and God bless. Bye.